Hello, Robert.
Hello, Ernie. How are you this morning?
Okay, and you're the same gentleman I talked to before, right?
No, we've not had the pleasure to speak before.
Okay, so we need to get all caught up. I got the stuff here. How much of an intro do you need? Kind of, you know, sib. All right, so you're going to need to give me about 90 seconds to introduce you, say, yo, what's up, and I'll give, you know, kind of what the idea is and where you're at in the process, because I don't know. Okay?
Okay. Alrighty.
All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Unafeared. Here and declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, 98. From the BEA Utiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, let me tell you what's going on. A few months ago, I got a call from a publicist out of Beverly Hills that we use for a lot of cool stuff that she does. And what happened was, here, hold on. Do the graphics, for this here, please. The one thing that happened was we had a she called me. She gets us a lot of great guests, and she had an idea. She said, man, we need a libertarian to be able to go ahead and take a look and endorse a book that, or give a blurb for it or have something to say about it. And the reason was there was a gentleman that – it was a Jerry Ashton that I had talked to before. Was that the gentleman I talked to? Robert?
Yes, he is one of our co-founders.
So I think it was Jerry, and he talked, and I'm going, I'm not about giving blurbs on books or something until I read the book. You know what? Well, okay, he sent me over the PDF of the book. It wasn't finalized, but gave me the gist of it, and I'm going, okay, what can? Because I could see that it was kind of a libertarian answer for, but it had gotten a lot of attention on John Oliver's show. Late last week, Tonight with John Oliver on HBO, a couple years ago, and it was, this concept was really starting to, but it's from the left. You know, what would a libertarian, well, Jerry had known David Noland in Colorado back in the day, and he understood libertarian philosophy, and he didn't see why there wouldn't be, a prominent libertarian would be able to come out and say, hey, that doesn't suck, that's a good idea, and what, well, I'm going to tell you what the idea was. The idea is, as debt collectors, I think Jerry's out of Hawaii, if I'm not mistaken, and so they're debt collectors for medical debt, and it got to the point to where it just beat on his conscience so much that you hear the horror stories of you go into a hospital, and you have a three-year-old child about ready to die, you'll sign anything, whatever, man, fix it. And then they go, and they wring their hands, and they just pile it on. You get your $400 Q-tips or whatever. And this is just, and then now you owe it. Fork it over. And whatever was yours, and whatever you saved for a rainy day, well, we made sure it rained, and it's all ours now. Then you can't afford it. You sell your house. You go bankrupt. You can't do all this, and it's theirs. Then you go, and you can't pay. And it goes to a debt collector. Debt collectors start calling, and they're bugging. By the time, these guys would get the debt, and they're talking to these horror stories of what happened to them, destroying families, and the healthcare industry is a plague on the entire country with the monopoly protection of legislation and governments, and you got it and you can't. And I'm like, you know, if I want Doogie Howser to do brain surgery on me for chickens, well, you know, maybe I need Doogie Howser, a 16-year-old, doing brain surgery on me. But the freedom to do this, I think, would solve these problems. Now, they may think differently, but the end result, what always comes to the rescue, compassionate individuals. And what they have done is created a charity by which they can go and forgive medical debt voluntarily. You know, people voluntarily, it's not a government thing. You know, they used a charity in 2016 to abolish $15 million in medical debt. In response to the public support since then, by the end of 18, RIP, which is the RIP Medical Debt, is the charity, has abolished $500 million in medical debt for 250,000 Americans and communities across the country. I mean, and we think we're going to talk about it? We're going to talk about it. With Robert Goff, co-author of End Medical Debt. He has more than 40 years of experience in the healthcare industry. Robert is a recognized expert in care delivery, organization, and financing. His career spans a wide range of leadership positions as a hospital administrator, managed care executive, consultant, regulator, and association executive. He's held an academic posting as an adjunct professor in managed care and healthcare strategic planning at the New School University in New York. He's a frequent lecturer to physicians and community organizations. As an entrepreneur, Goff has been responsible for the development of numerous healthcare businesses, including one of the first for-profit HMOs in New York State, one of the earliest physician practice management companies, a chain of urgent care centers, the first network model Medicare and Medicaid managed care plans in a secondary market, plus provider-based healthcare business initiatives. Goff recently retired from service as executive director and CEO of University Physicians Network in New York City. So, Robert, be a knowing what's a happening. Now, my support of this, as you know, from a libertarian perspective, is it always comes down what it always comes down to: individuals that care. Compassionate individuals doing whatever they can to help other individuals because they need help. That's you want to get a libertarian endorsed that right there. How far off am I, Robert?
No, well, Ernie, first off, thanks so much for your support of our book, End Medical Debt, which is now out. Your blurb is prominently on the back of the book. But you're absolutely right in terms of people helping people. What we've accomplished and been able to accomplish is by the generosity of Americans who see this as an opportunity to help others. And I will tell you, the range of people who've stepped up has literally blown me away. We've had organizations step up, we had a church in Texas who decided that they wanted to, instead of advertising their Easter service, they were going to abolish medical debt in their community, and we were able to help them abolish $11 million in that community. We had nurses up in Michigan who, seeing what's happening with patients, living with them, want to help their neighbors, and we were able to abolish about $2.5 million with these nurses' supports up in Michigan. We've had one of the most fascinating ones to me, or most touching, was a letter we received out of Jacksonville, Florida, from an individual after we did a campaign there with Action Jackson 9 TV station. And he sends us a letter and he says, my wife recently died of cancer. Fortunately, I had good insurance coverage. I didn't run into a problem, but we met many people that did. Therefore, here's a check, and it represents the proceeds of her life insurance. We'd like the money to help others. And this kind of stepping up is repeated again and again. We had a 95-year-old World War II veteran, and he was asked what he wanted for his birthday. He said, I want to abolish medical debt for veterans. He says, I'm going to put in $5,000, and I'm going to challenge my friends to come up with another $5,000 so we can abolish $1 million worth of medical debt. And we were able to identify debt for veterans and their families and abolish it on this gentleman's behalf. But the range of people that have stepped up, from small individuals like that to actually Melville Brewing out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, who donated the proceeds of an entire run of one of their IPAs to us. So So we've had both corporations who've stepped up and said, gee, this is fascinating, and individuals who have really seen what good we can do by getting this debt abolished.
You know, this is, it's so, what it always comes down to. It's people, 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 people. When we come back, I'll read the blurb, you know, that I sent. And it's just, you know, that, you know, I can see why, you know, with this project, you would want to have, what would a libertarian have to say? Where does this come in when you got this touchy-feely and they own debt and we kind of, you know, we're prey. We're livestock to this system. You know, and where's the solution? Well, I tell you, it's always what it comes down to. People helping people. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Man, how do you do that? You go like this. This is how it goes. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? And no government for. Okay, this is what you're seeing up there is the blurb. And I want to, you know, it's been a while since I looked at it. This has been going. I didn't know that you guys had already got the, you know, the book done. You know, I'm going, all right, cool. It's out and doing rock and roll and whatnot. And I did not know that it was $500 million that you have done, 250,000 people. This is I'm so happy to be associated with what you guys are accomplishing here. This is awesome. All right.
Well, Ernie, I greatly appreciate that. Can I update you just a little? We actually ended the year at $548.8 million abolished.
Wow,
settled
man.
Things out. Over 300,000 individuals with an average abolishment of each account of about $1,600. And that's a range of about $100 to $10,000.
You know, this is, and that's, could might as well be a, I remember, you know, I have four children. I've lost pets because you couldn't afford health care for them. I've lost, time and money kind of in cars and all kinds and then all been in, you know, the dire straits of because of $100. you know, $1,000. You know, the world would have been changed if I had $200. My wife and I used to always say, for lack of $200 or $2,000, the world would have been different. And I go, this is such a big deal for a lot of people that it makes a difference. And we're not talking, you know, some wealthy individual had to sell their BMW. You know, we're talking people that, you know, they're having to go to the food line because they, you know, had to pay a debt or can't. I mean, I understand. I've been poor. Hell, I'm still poor. But, I mean, I've been dirt poor for a long time. We lived 9.5 years in a two-bedroom, only evaporative cooling in Arizona in a triplex with four kids and two dogs for 9.5 years as young activists going through. I get it, okay? So this to it. Let me go ahead and read the blurb that I did so people know what we're talking about. End medical debt has done more than describe the unsustainable structure of our current healthcare system. It has demonstrated what was always the solution: people helping people. Voluntarily and without coercion, individuals have pooled their talents and resources to help others that have become livestock to be processed for the greatest profit possible, with a focus on continued revenues via treatment cost. This system has created a debt-enslaved class with few options. Necessity will produce many solutions, but in the meantime, End Medical Debt is offering hope from those willing to be able to pay forward their success. Humanity at its best again. You represent, and what you guys are doing are representing what the solution always was us. But the system, it wasn't a completed book, you know, but I mean, it was enough. I go through and I could see what was going on. You guys have described the system as it is. And from inside the system with people that care. And only now, in the last few, as people, doctors retire, they start coming out, these drugs don't work. This is a big pharma scam. This is, we're ripping people off this way and that way and that way and that way and that way. And you created this problem and you're starting to have a solution. But the book is more about ending the medical debt. It describes how we got here.
How we got here and the unfortunate consequences of it. When you look at the amount of financial exposure that people have, the middle class feels to a large degree that they're protected by their insurance. And that's where the fallacy really is, because the gaps in coverage, the deductibles, which really became blessed by Obamacare, really has put people in a situation of great, great exposure. You're talking about 60% of people who are insured with medical bills are going to deplete most of their savings to pay those bills. You're looking at people, 62% of cancer patients are being in debt due to their treatment, with 55% owing at least $10,000. 3% end up in bankruptcy. But what we're doing is we are wiping out the financial stability of families, of people. And when you look at it, 60% of all personal bankruptcies are related to medical debt. And I found an interesting story out of Miami that medical debt was a leading cause of homelessness in that city, beating out people who are suffering from alcohol addiction and drugs. Medical debt creating homelessness.
And this surprises you?
It's such a troubling fact that we've reached the point where a system that at one time was mission-driven of caring for neighbors, of taking care of people, has become the source of creating so much pain for people. You know, people who, yes, we've treated you, we may have restored you to health, but we've destroyed you financially in the process, wiping out not only your economic stability, but that of your family.
All right, now we're going to get mean. All right, here, let's get mean. I'm a freedom-oriented, libertarian, free market. If I want to be able to, you know, have the witch doctor take care of me from whatever give them eggs and I don't care. You know, I don't, regulation, licensing, all that stuff, man, out the freaking window, because when you do it, this is exactly what happens. So I'm talking to Robert Goff, the former regulator, consultant, executive, managed care hospital administrator inside La Machine. Now, while you were doing that, At what point did you realize that you were part of the problem, that the industry is the problem, that these regulations are the problem, that, you know, I find out just recently, I didn't know that a community couldn't open a hospital without permission of the other hospitals. Where the heck did that happen?
But this is one of the things that I've watched in my career occur. From the independent hospital and the independent physician to these consolidated systems. And remember, these consolidated systems are monopolies in their community or oligarchies in their community. And the only way they're able to hold that status is by dint of government-offered licenses. So you can't open up a competing hospital in the community. And then what occurs...
What is this? You know, I've been talking when they started to open up Cuba. You know, they were going, hey, wow, we can open up a business as long as we, you know, don't have a haircutting one next to it, kind of, you know, license. I'm going, what? You know, then that's not free market. You're not free market if you got to get a license. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Right. And the problem comes in is monopolies have a tendency to act monopolistically. So the hospital, which has a monopoly license in a community, is able to then demand higher reimbursement rates from commercial insurers because the commercial insurer can't do business in that community without that license. And now you see hospitals that are moving into purchasing physician practices for greater control.
This is this is not getting better. This is not going to get better. This is not. And I'm sure you have a lot of left-leaning supporters that understand with compassion what you're doing, but do they understand what the underlying problem is and how we got here? And sooner or later, people are. We'll talk.
We have some good news. The indictments against Russell.
All right. This is where, you know, I'm gonna be a butthead. Here comes the libertarian, okay? Because... The solution is a way this government intervention. That's my whole point. I was willing to really support. I'm going, this is what it always happens in medical debt is a solution of non-coercive, voluntary help of individuals that see a need and are helping people in that need, and they can. I'm all over it. Right on. This is the result of people getting involved in the process. But the problem will continue and get bigger. There is no end to it. It's going to be, and we can talk about, you know, managed care and single payer and blah, 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 blah. And the bottom line is that because they freaking can, they'll charge a gazillion dollars. And you being inside the system, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and help us understand how this happened. And it was just recent. I don't know why this escaped me, that I found out. I'm going, wait. I can't open a hospital? I can't? I want to help. This is, we could do it a lot better. No, you can't. What do you mean I can't? Because you got to get permission of the other hospitals to have a hospital. I'm like, what? What? When the hell did that happen?
So that actually dates back to the Carter administration.
Oh, how are you a support of that? When did that happen?
So this was a matter of a concept that there
okay,
were...
Wait. I don't want to do it in the break. We'll do it when we come back.
Oh, okay.
But I want to make sure you know, this is all recorded. Donna, yep. Neil told you we record during the break and all that kind of stuff, so be careful and don't say bad things about your mother. Anyway, so what happens is that I want to make sure that you understand that's what makes this show, you know, is kind of, let's skip to the end and get to the core of the problem of what the hell. And this enormous problem... of which I think you have a fantastic platform from which to cure it. You know, to get people. I mean, here's some antibody, man. We're doing some solution. We're trying to fix and do and Band-Aid and whatever. But we got a freaking disease underneath that will not stop. It's going to continue to get worse.
I believe you are correct in that. And the left view, which says let's nationalize health care, is only going to make matters worse in terms of...
All right, well, share that on air, because, I mean, this is from someone inside. That's why I'm glad to have you on, Robert. How long has the book actually been out for sale?
The book was launched in second week of December. It made it to Amazon.
All right, very cool. How's it doing?
It's doing all right. It was like number 234 the first week it was out in the category of financial books, I believe. So we're
all right. Well, let's pump it. Now we're gonna get some. You know, yeah. There's a lot of ways we can do that. The show will help. All right,
okay.
we'll be back in about 40 seconds, and we'll get right to it. Let's go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
How do we do that? Well, the first thing is understand what the freaking problem is from the beginning. And this, we're talking to Robert Goff, one of the co-authors of End Medical Debt. You know, a concept I'm very proud to be associated with because it always comes down to individuals helping individuals that got, steamrolled over by a system that they, in the most vulnerable time of their lives when they are in poor health, a loved one is, and I have been there. I got four children. Something happened. You go, man, make it go work. I have gone to a emergency room with a gash. It fell through a glass table that my two-year-old daughter was walking on at a friend's house that had, it was a display end table thing, that had her wedding stuff in. Of course, it's plate glass. Kids are in the living room. Her fault. They're in there. We hear this crash. We go in there. She stood on the table. The kids were playing on the furniture. Went through, gashed her leg, went down to the bone, about a 3-inch diagonal cut on her shin and or in the meat there. And I'm going, whoa, man, we got, take care of Ben, go to the emergency room. Sat there for 2 hours waiting for, she's not going to die. And we'll are you freaking? It was so bad that we left and went to another hospital, waited another hour. They finally get to whatever, and then the gazillion bills, and the first one tried to get us for what. I'm like, what? Then we had my wife, I remember a decade and a half ago, 15 years ago, she fell through in water. It was a storm cover thing was open, and she went down and contused, really bad on her leg. By the time any blood clot we were worried about go to the brain, hell, it was too late, past the time, never mind. No, you can't leave. What do you mean I can't leave? Try and stop me. I'm so sick of this industry. And then, of course, for sitting, we're going to have to charge you for sitting in the waiting room kind of crap. Are you freaking kidding me? So when you're the most vulnerable, and then I have a granddaughter, misdiagnosed her fungal meningitis, or valley fever to the point that it became fungal meningitis, weeks in the hospital, near death, finally make kind of, and then I'm supposed to be happy of this medical care system. I am not. And the time that they do all and how much money they spend and and here comes the debt collectors. But we got insurance. Really? I have 2 daughters, 2 sons, 12th grandchild on the way. They pay enormous amounts in health care coverage with whatever Health Care Affordability Act. Are you freaking kidding me? They have to spend $7,000-$8,000 a year before they actually even get any kind of health care coverage. And I'm going, it's the biggest ripoff there ever was. We've done lots of shows on it. Dr. Frank Tamburi on this show did a big thing on Obamacare, what you want to call it. So this has been, I got Robert Goff in. He's going to explain it to me. It is not going to get better. Why is it not going to get better? What are we looking at? Are we going to have single payer? We're going to do national? Going to fix it? What's going to fix it? Explain it to me.
So if you're sitting there and the concern is affordability, and I know the left-thinking way is saying, I'm so disgusted with it, and I understand the disgust, you share the disgust. But that disgust is driving the left-thinking people to say, government, just take it over. It's so confusing.
They are taking it over. They already did.
Well, I'll tell you, though, what they did, unfortunately, is they actually made things worse. Since the Affordability Act went in, actually, health insurance has become less affordable. 37% of people are having trouble paying their premiums. 43% are having difficulty paying their deductibles. 31% are seriously impacted paying prescription drug costs. We made it worse. The worst thing that occurred, in my mind, is that health reform had the government blessing a model that included these high deductibles. The product that was pushed heavily was this silver product with a $2,000 deductible. Yet for 47% of Americans, that $2,000 deductible is unaffordable, wipes out their ready availability of cash. They don't have those kind of reserves. Now, in the meantime, the healthcare industry, hospitals, saw their monopoly positions as an opportunity to drive up their costs, their charges. After all, if you're only game in town and the commercial insurance wants a contract with you, well, how much can I get them to pay? Because whatever I get them to pay, mean that gives me money to do things such as buy physician practices. And if I buy physician practices, I can assure that I'll get that physician's business and the cost will go up. So my own experience, having reached the age where colonoscopies is a five-year event, I used to receive my colonoscopy in a private physician's office. The bill was about $3,500.
God.
Just had it. The physician is now employee of a hospital. The bill was $9,500. Same procedure, only difference. And by the way, both were very good experiences from a delivery standpoint. One was $6,000 more for only because
okay.
of the location.
All right, you're killing me. I am looking at any procedure such as this. I'm looking for a free market. You go. We have a surgeon here in the valley that is part owner of a surgery center in Oklahoma. They have their prices on the website. You know, and it's a fraction of what the hospitals charge. A fraction. So I go, I need a gallbladder. You know, okay, well, that's this much for the anesthesiologist. That's this much for this. I go, yeah, if you want to do it and, you know, chew on a piece of leather, I guess you could save some money on the anesthesiologist. But, you know, I mean, you have a price. You ask, you go to the hospital, you want to, well, how much is this? Whoa. God, hell, we don't know. We're supposed to know that? Yeah, you freaking, God, this whole thing. And
so,
where's the competition?
Now take that a step further, because in many cases, you'll see hospitals in a situation like that tell the insurer the hospital, will not contract with the insurer if they bring into the network, so they're covered for insurance, a freestanding guy like that.
Of course. You know,
they don't want the competition.
Of course. You know, this is, all right, I'm going to do people in this, I'm going to break the law here probably, okay? Well, I'm going to take care of my, I have chickens. You know, let's assume I have some, other farm animals, a pig maybe, whatever. I found this out when we had a puppy, got parvo, which is like Ebola for dogs, and you just watch it. It's a horrible death. They just rot from the inside. They bleed out their intestines. It's just terrible. And so $600, we'll save your puppy, put him in the pound. We put an IV of penicillin, kind of problem solved, $600. Might as well have been $6 billion, okay? I couldn't come up and say I had to sell everything at the time if it was a child, okay? So then I'm going, well, I'm sorry, kids, cat and puppy dies. We find out later that you can go to the freaking feed store, buy the penicillin for $10 and a syringe for 40 cents, and you do it your freaking self. I am like, are you kidding me? Then we find out they try to make it to where, well, people are doing that. So they wanted to, no, you can only buy the penicillin by the case, and then that kind of went away and they didn't do that. Well, I live in horse property up here, and what happens? They got a feed store down here. For my fish, I get, what is it, amoxicillin. I got tetracycline. I got, in the powder, do it in the water. I got penicillin by the injection. And if you got a family of, let's say you're a family of five, you got three kids, one of them over a year, somebody's getting the sniffle. Somebody's getting sick. Over 5 years, they're going to public school. Man, I guarantee freaking tea, somebody's getting sick. Then, can we weather it? You might get through. After about 5 years, sometimes somebody needs to go to the doctor. Somebody needs to have, and you wait, you can't afford it, and then you're going into the emergency room. Then they're charging you a gazillion dollars. Then they're sending you a big, giant bill. And what happens? Just in case, for your chickens. Yeah, that's the ticket. For your pig, yeah. You go down for $10, you go get your own damn freaking antibiotics. And I'm telling you, this is what's happening. They want to shut that down, too. You want to go to here in Arizona, you go across the border. Heck, EpiPen, $600, you get it for $10.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, you didn't think it was going to go that far, did you?
That was interesting. But you're so right. There's an element of self-care that if you just had the those things available, you know, if you go through the history of birthing in this country. You know, birthing used to be home deliveries with midwives, and it became medicalized. And that then brought it into the hospitals, and it became a revenue stream and different business.
Yeah.
There are many parts of the healthcare delivery system that can be downloaded to people who are trained that are of lower cost. This is where the whole movement of nurse practitioners comes in, physician assistants, where many people can get what they need faster, better, and cheaper.
Or hell, I put it in my freaking refrigerator, I'll take care of it myself. And yep. Then they go, well, you overprescribe, or you over this, or you over that, and over that. I'm going, yeah, it's called freedom. Oh my God, what a concept. And what do the people learn? They go, hey man, you know, past, 6 years or so, I spend my mornings drinking juices and more Gerson. If I did my coffee enema for 3 months of the liver cleanse of the kind, and I feel better than God, and I did it my freaking self, and bite me, that's what. You know, this is, I belong to a discussion group, and there's an oncologist from the Mayo Clinic here in Scottsdale that is part of, and he gave a presentation. And he goes, oh, yeah, we, you know, these freaking, you know, supplement pay, we would just do away with it. They're just a plague on society of, well, I'm like, what? You know, this, all they're thinking is competition. Yeah, we got to love Big Pharma because they come up with a lot of really cool drugs that we kind of write to try and poison myself. And I'm just, I just want to strangle it. But I tell you what, it's the internet. It's books like yours. It's the internet and realizations over a career that you're having and so on. That's going to be the solution because I go on the internet. I put in my symptoms because then now Google knows whatever skin condition I had or some crap, you know. But I go in and I go, this, and they go, yeah, apple cider vinegar. I go, okay. Fixes it, done, next.
And there's so much that can be done that way nutritionally with things that are readily available. And even, by the way, people who have illnesses can improve dramatically their life, their well-being, and reduce their use of drugs, their treatment by nutrition.
Okay, now I want to find out, you know, that's we're talking the system. I mean, you know, end medical debt is not really... Yeah, but it's a result of this. So we'll, you know, we got to have a solution, man. All right, here, come back.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I feel like I'm slipping into the Twilight Zone! Damn! You know, can we freaking fix this ourselves? When have we not been, you know, fixing it ourselves? When did that not happen? I mean, it always comes down to that. And throughout history, everything is just a delay of that and how much they can rip us off and make money from, monopolize, and we're going to fix it and kind of, and the same guy still making the same of the special interest going and passing the laws and kind of, yeah, and bypass. The only thing is to go pirate. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Go check it out. Pirates, and this is like, you know, oh, we're working on one of the letters right now. Davy Barker's in here. We're doing the health care issue, the right to augment or not be forced to augment.
Yeah, I'm working on the notes right
You know, the dude, whatever, everything. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said I'm working on the notes right now.
You know, this is what, you know, it's healthcare. We're just got, you know, so my thing is, it comes down to everything. You know, should I be able to, whose body is it? Let me think for a second. Not yours, I can tell you that. You know, so I'm just like, oh, I'm just like, man, I am so. What we're going to do is I want to make sure that we understand more clearly what the problem is, because it's gotten us to end medical debt. We're talking to Robert Goff from Inside the Machine, comes out, retires, and tell me that transition into this. You come across, we'll get into more in the details of the problem, but I mean, your humanity had to rise up here somewhere to try and help these people that you personally saw the system destroy.
So the first step that really came up for me, or transitionally, was I spent about 20 years working with physicians who are largely in private practice, who are some of the most earnest people that I ever met, whose concern for patient first went far beyond the economics. These were physicians who high clinical skills, high compassion, and their level, learning through them, their level of frustration of how the system, the structure, was getting in the way of their ability to stay in private practice, where they would be forced by costs of meeting regulation, by reimbursement declining, where they would have no choice but to become employees of a hospital. And what ends up happening, and this was told to me by the vice president of one of the large health plans, was that the care delivered by an employed physician with the same outcome is 40% more costly than the same care provided by a physician in private practice. And so you see these physicians becoming very frustrated, because they're the ones that are dealing with the consequences of medical bills, medical costs, as they're trying to treat patients. The patient who doesn't fill a script because they can't afford it. The patient who doesn't want to come back in for follow-up because they can't afford it. The diabetic that won't stay on their meds because they can't afford it. They're seeing that as an impediment to delivering what they really want to do, which is care for other people.
Which is beaten out of them in medical school.
Well, I'll tell you,
nutrition is not even a freaking subject.
Yep. And they, you know, and so many of them recognize that deficiency intellectually, and many of them, especially in the areas of internal medicine and primary care, have moved into learning it, understanding, or cooperating with nutritionists. When we have worked with physicians who, as part of their practice, bring nutritionists in. Back in my experience, I served as a dialysis technician for a period of time. With a good nutritionist, we had patients who were able to reduce one dialysis treatment a week. They couldn't eliminate it because they didn't have the kidney function, but because they were willing to work on a diet and we had a nutritionist that worked with them, reducing, you know, a third of the treatments. Well, not only is it better quality of life, cost savings are dramatic.
So the change in attitude, before we run out of time here, is what? I would imagine that you have a lot of, I would term progressive, you know, people that want to feel better about, it's all about, nobody acts in what they don't perceive to be their self-interest. They got some resources. They had something happen. They're paying it forward, good karma, whatever. They're supporting you, and they see the problem and the need, and they can help, and they feel better. They don't do it because they feel worse. They do it because it either benefits them in some way, and because they're compassionate people, it benefits them. They feel better. They help you. They get people out of this kind of debt. They forgive, do end medical debt. Boom. I can see that. But are they as aware, certainly by reading the book, of what the real problem is and what is the solution?
That is really what we're trying to get out with the book and medical debt. And we're really trying to look at a level of awareness. There's a warning in the book about how at-risk middle-class Americans are at being financially ruined by the gaps in coverage issues of healthcare, where one accident, one illness could destroy a family's financial security.
For lack of tetracycline for their fish.
Yes. We also want to challenge people to say we can do better. We should not be allowing these monopolies to be created that drive up costs to make healthcare less affordable. We shouldn't be in a position where hospitals are now actually making money that they can use to fund new ventures. I mean, we're talking about serving as investment houses for new ideas. New ideas are great, but you got the money not from profits that you made in selling a product, but because of your monopoly, you drove up the cost. And it's a plea as well. Our book is also a plea as well for self-help, for you to be able to understand what's going on with your health insurance, with the system, to avoid this problem yourself. And of course, if you're in a position to help us help others, we'd love the book and medical debt to stimulate that kind of support of what we're doing.
Okay, I can't let this go without, you know, people seeing this. I just pulled it up on my computer, you know, and I even used the bad guy's Google. I pig penicillin. Hell, I even spelled penicillin wrong. Hell, I could spell pig wrong. Okay, dual action penicillin for beef and cattle, and kind of $27.99 for 250 milliliters of here's the shot, and I get it and deliver my house and done. I am so valleyvet.com. You do it online. You go down this guy. I mean, people don't know that you could save your life and that of your children, so on, but for lack of knowledge. And I'm just like, and this freedom will go away one of these days directly. You got to go through the vet, and only they can kind of, you know, in the competition of you're not allowed to take care of yourself. Then it's a, you know, it's a, ooh, what about vitamin, you know, this or vitamin that, or I got a skin. I'm telling you, this whole thing is so bad that what you're doing to do, I'm looking for the freedom. I want the freedom to be stupid. I want the freedom to overprescribe myself. I want the freedom to make mistakes. I want the freedom to. I want the freedom. Is freedom an answer? Is freedom the answer? What's the question, Doc? I mean, come on, give me some freedom here.
Well, I think the more knowledge there is of one, the system, and then what you can do yourself to protect yourself from it, creates that freedom. If you're going to have freedom, you have to have the knowledge to take the freedom for yourself, for your family.
You know, and the knowledge, and the thing, that doesn't mean I'm not advocating to get you in trouble. And I go, this is for your pig, of course. But the dosage for humans and pigs about the same for body weight, you know, FYI. But the point is that I was 57 years old. It was a realization 20 years ago that I had that I was not being told the truth, that I was being denied. I was being put in poverty. I had exactly these kinds of problems that set us back, you know, for years on this kind of stuff. And instead of going and whining, complaining, there were solutions. But a lot of it is just new. Nutrition, you know, it's nutrition, which is not even taught in medical school. And the thing, what do they want? No, we need to have a better delivery system for everybody to get on, and it costs a bunch of money, and Big Pharma makes more money, and the hospitals are getting rich. And oh, by the way, you can't open a competing hospital because you got a better idea way to do it. Are you freaking kidding me? Of course we're going to have this problem. Of course. So I'm so glad, doctor, that you guys are doing. I'm sorry, are you a doctor, or are you just a?
No, I am not.
And don't need, probably better off. So, you know, he's not a doctor. Yay. So this is, thank you for doing this. You know, this is a benefit. I want your supporters and, you know, and people. I don't even know who you're. I wouldn't imagine, you know, the hospital industry and the Big Pharma is kind of, you know, amping up your sales. But this is for other people to see it from a compassionate perspective on medical debt. And from the inside of how we got here, who's being affected, and how as an individual, voluntarily, without coercion, you can help people in need for a little bit. Be one of the 300,000 families that got out from under this cloud that just will plague them for the rest of their lives. And all you got to do is a little bit over there and just a little bit, because it's interest. Penalties keeps adding up.
You moved to the Shire.
I moved to.
There you go.
Well, I thank you so much for your interest and support of the book and for what we're doing.
Yeah, I know you probably didn't expect what you got, but There was some. Now I wanted to make sure that there was enthusiasm in there for that. You're highlighting the problem. The freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? And that there's, you know, the solution is not more of what got us here. That is just not going to work.
Very much true. Very, very true.
Well, thank you for doing this, and I was happy to give you the. I'm glad you used that blurb. And so you used the whole thing, and it's on there somewhere?
Not the whole thing. The editors played with it a bit, but you're there.
See, that was a condition. I told them they don't. I'll do whatever. They aren't allowed to play with it.
Well, then you, Eileen was your source, and she must have signed off on it.
Well, I want to see it. Where do I look to see that right now? I want to see
it. It should be, let's see.
I said, I'll give it to you, but you're not allowed to edit it.
Oh. I had not known that. Let's see, do I have your email? I can send you a copy of the jacket cover.
Yeah, do publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. I see, I knew they'd do that, those sons of bitches.
I'll send you a copy of the book.
Well, I'm looking
cover.
At the web page, and I see the front, but I don't see the.
Of course, yeah, that's all they'll promote the front in the process.
All right, see, we'll see how in the next printing to come. Man, I won't be a butthead, but I'll be a butthead.
All right, by me, Ernie.
Now, because I got what I read and what I showed on the screen, you may not have seen it in the video that goes out. That is what I sent with a condition that it be. I said, you just tell me how long and whatever, and then they go edit the libertarian when he says, no, that's a bad idea. So we'll see. We'll see what they did. All right, I appreciate you sending that to me. Good luck.
Will do. Thanks so much, Ernie, for the time.
You
and
bet.
Good congratulations on your 12th grandchild.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.